Good morning, everyone, and thank you so much for joining us for SPIRIT, the Stimulating Program Initiative for Retirees that inspires thought. I'm Judy Steinig, Director of Community Programs for the Orthodox Union, and it's my honor to coordinate and host this program. The SPIRIT program began several years ago as an on-site program, and now we're happy to present it as an online program. For retirees, not yet retirees, baby boomers, empty nesters, sandwich generation, parents, active and seniors, everybody who's looking for opportunities for educational, intellectual, and spiritual growth. Since we are all still sheltering in because of the pandemic, SPIRIT has become the perfect way for everyone to engage in a virtual setting. The SPIRIT program has been examining different options for living as we get older. Today's program will provide strategies to enable us or our loved ones to stay in place. We are so happy to welcome Feggy Horowitz, MS, to the SPIRIT Forum. Revitzen Horowitz is a certified aging in place specialist and serves as the director of communications at Caring Professionals, a New York City-based home care agency. She is a writer, columnist, and Revitzen in Lawrence, New York, and is co-founder of Rachel's Place, a shelter for homeless young women, as well as JWOW, Jewish Women of Wisdom for Midlifers. She's gonna tell us a little bit about JWOW later on. It is my honor and personal pleasure to call upon Feggy Horowitz. Thank you so much for everyone for joining us.
Okay, so do you hear me, Judy? Okay, good morning, everybody. And it's wonderful to be here. Judy and I have partnered in other areas for the Jewish community, and I'm thrilled to be here, and I see a couple of friends and family members, so I feel very Hamish right now. So I'm particularly thrilled to speak to this audience about making permanent changes in a home so that a senior can age in place, because while Susan Maytal, RN, also a colleague of mine from the Touro Nursing School Board, spoke about small changes that you can make in your home, I'm going to be talking about more significant modifications that will require getting a handyman, an installer, or even a contractor to do. Now, the fact that you're here with us at this Zoom session tells me that you're thinking ahead. So many people have to make modifications in a home right after a traumatic health challenge. There may be a stroke or an accident, and people need help right away when they come home from the rehab or the hospital. And so everyone has to scramble in place to put things together. The healthcare team, the doctor, the therapists, the DME, the durable medical equipment supplier, and the family. And very often they quickly put in a ramp or an elevator or a lift. Now these are helps if there are mobility issues, but sometimes there are sensory and cognitive issues as well that have to require some modification. So the fact that you are planning and participating is a very good sign. I myself, even though I'm in my low 60s, about 6 years ago, I broke my ankle in two places. Now, I have a very comfortable bedroom, and I lived there for 2 months, but I learned that getting into the bathroom, even with the wheelchair, was a little challenging. There was space, but there wasn't enough maneuverability. The shower had a seat already, and the vanity was lower than the sink area, the sink counter. Varying heights is something we're going to talk about later, but I needed more maneuvering room, and certainly the threshold is something I'm going to tackle. It's just a little bit too high, and later I'm going to mention what the ideal transitions are. And now, so planning ahead is a good thing when you can think about it, when you can begin to look at the various possibilities and what's most important for you in terms of quality of life and the future. Now during COVID in particular, Many people are changing their plans. The assisted livings are emptying out, and many people who had planned to go into a comfortable, elegant facility where they could have their independence and have the supports that they need and be part of the community are changing their plans and want to age in place. So it's smart to be here. It's smart to plan ahead. So what's our goal? I'm charging right in. That was the preamble, the introduction. What is our goal when we talk about home modifications? Our goal is very straightforward. We want to have supported independence for quality of life. So when we work with the senior, the family, and the healthcare provider team, we're working together to achieve quality of life for future needs and wants. Now, everybody defines quality of life a little bit different. There's a study that came out recently about the main areas, but basically they overlap. People want to be with family and friends and socialize and connect to their spirituality. So for our community, that means being able to go to shul and feel positive about one's health. There are a lot of areas. So it's a personal thing, but the goal is the same, to provide a supportive environment so the person can be as independent as possible, and their needs as well as wants, hobbies, priorities can be accommodated. Now, when we as home modification specialists go into a home or work with a family, our goal, our priorities are as follows. They're threefold. One is life safety. That's pretty straightforward. The other is fall prevention. And the third is going to be convenience. Like I said before, our wants, making it easier to independently accomplish the things you like to do, such as learning Torah, cooking in your kitchen, baking, your crafts, your hobbies, participating in your book club, and going to your senior center or your favorite pharmacy. So let's talk a little bit about safety and these three priorities before we get into discussing individual rooms. So when we talk about safety, obviously the first thing is going to be, is there a good exit in case of fire? That's universal, but it's of particular concern. We want to prevent falls. Another thing we want to prevent is burns, and therefore people should replace, if they still have those old-fashioned stoves with the controls in the front. We don't want people reaching across the burner to make an adjustment. Now, similarly, if you have an electric stovetop, you want to be sure there's a light to alert you or the senior you're concerned about that it's too hot to touch. And similarly, you don't want too far a distance to carry a hot pot from the stove to a counter or a work surface. So this is pretty straightforward. And if you remodeled or installed appliances in the last couple of years, these features are there. But let's go into something else. In terms of safety, we want something called redundancy. Now, most of us think of redundancy as a term you use when you're choosing words. You don't want to say something twice because that would be redundant. But when we talk about home safety in systems, we do want redundancy. We want doubling up. We want a backup for a system. And you can understand that. For example, smoke and carbon monoxide detectors should have both a visual alarm and an audible alarm. So in case someone doesn't catch it, or someone is hard of hearing, or someone doesn't see it, there is a secondary system to alert. And on a simple level, your front hall fixture, you want it to have multiple bulbs. In case one burns out, there's a backup, there's a redundancy, there's a second one there. Obviously, We want redundancy in hardwired alarms. We want a battery backup besides the electrical system that's installed. I'll give you a simple example that you wouldn't think of, and I certainly didn't think of before I got into this, and that is household chemicals. Well, many people store household chemicals, pesticides, bleach, and other things in a particular cabinet. You want to make that cabinet have a visual cue so that you are reminded, or your loved one is, that something's different here. So you will either paint it a different color or put brightly colored duct tape on it to remind you that this is a place that is different than your other cabinets. Another thing you could do would be, because we want redundancy, right? We want double reminders, is you can put a child safety lock, you know, the kind you use for toddlers so they don't get into the kitchen cabinets. You would want to put that up and have that installed in a cabinet where you keep your household hazardous materials to remind you, the caregiver, your parent, that something is different here. It's not a matter of making it harder to access, but something's different about the contents of this cabinet. So we've covered redundancies. We want redundancies. Those are help keep us safe. Now, obviously, there are devices that are helpful for monitoring. And if we want to be independent, if we want supportive independence, we're going to want to have monitoring devices and communication devices so everyone is calm and knows that the senior is okay. So traditionally, those have been necklaces or bracelets. They gave the senior and the family peace of mind. However, today there are a lot fancier systems in place because people don't want to wear that, and we have Wi-Fi capability. Wi-Fi enabled devices that are standalones or connected to a laptop or a tablet will alert a family member in a distant place that someone hasn't responded to verbally in 45 minutes. You can set it up that if she doesn't say hello every 45 minutes or say something, then you check in. Similarly, these very same devices do the opposite. They don't monitor, they not only monitor from a distance, but they are also emergency systems in case somebody needs assistance. Now, here's a little sidebar, and we are all human, and when our parents get older, they want to maintain their dignity, they want to choose what their options, and they may not want to wear a bracelet or a necklace. So, someone in the family can research the options and choose what works for all parties concerned. And I'm going to continue the sidebar and the digression for another moment because I want to talk about the inevitable conflicts in family relationships for just a moment. You know, the adult children want peace of mind. They understand their parent wants dignity and independence, and I don't need it. And especially if they've been a leader in a community or active in a sisterhood or a share giver or whatever it was or is. It is easy to battle. And a geriatric care manager can be very helpful in navigating those relationships. A geriatric care manager is a nurse or a social worker who has been trained and has taken additional courses, has gotten certification. They do two sets of things. One is the more practical, task-oriented household management functions. Order the groceries, make the doctor's appointment, file the insurance claims, bring the trainer in, ensure that a car service is called to bring your parent to the annual Hanukkah party safely. It makes it easier for everyone, for the adult children and the senior. That's the practical side. But another side of a geriatric care manager is navigating those tricky relationships when there is some conflict or there's potential for conflict about certain matters. So hiring a geriatric care manager will help in this area as well. And by the way, that's one of the services we offer at Caring Professionals, the home care that I work for, in our new concierge department, which offers a lot of fee-for-service, private pay, home care, nutrition work. Someone can come in and exercise, and you can get a care manager. The first session is for free. And then you can hire, we have a care manager on staff, a young woman named Ariella Bortz-Fader. So that's my little digression about handling the conflict that may develop when you need a monitoring device and an emergency calling system. Many of these systems, by the way, are portable, and you can take them with you when you go away for Shabbos or Yontif. Another set of systems also can be done with Wi-Fi or hardwired are security systems to guard and protect against break-ins, fire. They can be multifunctional. In other words, you can buy one system that'll handle the fire, handle the break-in, handle the medical distress, and you will get a comprehensive safety package together with a monitoring system. They can manage the lighting and the thermostat controls as well. So technology can really be of help here. And by the way, one of the things, I think I plan to mention this later, but I'll say it now, if you have a system in place to unlock the garage door and the front door, it can be multifunctional. It can also turn on the lights in the hallway, so you don't have to do it manually. You have to be able to manage the system, and someone in the family obviously should be tech savvy. There's no help to buy a fancy system if you can't use it. Now, in terms of aging in place, and planning those modifications and executing them, let's keep in mind that a person's home is their castle. They have furnished it. They have decorated it. They have invested in it. It gives them pleasure. There are different functions that they perform in the different parts of the house. So don't neglect aesthetics when you make these changes. The goal is to blend the modification into the home's existing style and decor. No one wants to live in a home with an institutional look. So therefore, if you are going to install handrails, an easy thing, have it painted. No one likes to look at raw wood. If you're enlarging a doorway, put the molding around it. Have the hallway repainted or papered. Let the modifications be incorporated into the environment and not be an eyesore. So now I want to talk about some of the broader general concerns, and then we'll go into three key areas in the home. The first is doors. Everybody thinks about doors first. It's one of the first areas to address. We want to be sure that there is enough clearance at knuckle height so that there can be wheelchair access and maneuvering space. So commonly people remove doors and put in barn doors or sliding doors or pocket doors. A relative of mine moved into a new apartment. There were a couple in their early 80s, and I saw the barn doors, which are the doors that are hung from the top on a track, and I thought they were there for the coolness factor. I really was not familiar with barn doors, and there were pocket doors, not too many sliding doors. And I saw that once one of them became confined to a wheelchair, it was such a plus. I didn't know anything about home modifications at that point. And the person who had the mobility challenge was able to navigate around the apartment/condo with ease because it was built with these kinds of doorways. And they both could have privacy when they needed it. She in her kitchen, he in the breakfast room, whatever it was. So options for doors are important, and doors generally are a challenge. You need more maneuverability room. So doors are not a plus. If we're making some changes and doing some modifications, we choose those kinds of doors, the pocket doors, the sliding doors, and we understand that doors are intrusive. Now, sound is another concern. Many people lose optimal hearing when they get older, so acoustics are important. Now, most homes have enough fabric, the carpeting, the upholstery, the couch, the drapes. Fabrics will absorb ambient noise, ambient sound. However, the HVAC, the heating, ventilation, and air conditioning can be very noisy. And if there's too much tile and glass in a bathroom, which is not so important, but in a kitchen, it's going to amplify sound. So let's say you have a couple. The husband is losing his hearing. He likes to watch TV in his study. He turns it on, the volume on really loud. In the adjoining room, the kitchen, the wife is preparing food and she's talking to her kids on the phone. Now the noise from next door is going to be very intrusive. So you can, do some soundproofing. Sound can be blocked. So that's something to think about. Also, I mentioned HVAC, heating, ventilation, and air conditioning systems. Now, when people get older, their systems, they may develop acute or chronic conditions that make them much more sensitive to fluctuations in humidity, dryness, drafts, or even allergens. So you want to be sure that the home's HVAC systems are easily monitored. So you want, and you also want to be sure that any odors are vented out. So you want good sensitive systems. You want to have controls that are easy to use. Now, here's a little technical piece, but it's very easy to remember. Generally, when a contractor builds a home, he mounts the thermostat, he or she, mounts the thermostats higher than 48 inches. Now, that's too high for someone in a wheelchair or a scooter. So we're going to want the thermostats lowered to below 48 inches. Similarly, we're going to want an easier digital readout and simple up and down areas. Arrows. Other systems need to be accessed more easily as well. The electrical outlets, we want them at about 24 inches so that they can be easily accessible. Traditionally, they are not necessarily at that height. Now, light switches, not higher than 48 inches. Traditionally, they're above 48 inches. And you're also going to want light switches that are three-way. What's a three-way light switch? Goes on, off, and on and off at a second location. So let's say you have steps to go to exit. You're living on the second floor and you have a long hallway and then steps. You want a three-way switch at the beginning of the hallway. You want a three-way switch at the end of the hallway so you can turn it off. You want a three-way switch at the top of the steps, or one that can, so that the steps are lit. And at the bottom of the steps, you want to be able to turn those lights off because you're going out the door. So three-way switches are a good thing. You can also have wireless controls for light switches, like I mentioned parenthetically when we talked about security systems. Now, besides for lighting, and light switches, when we look at lighting when we get older, we want brighter light that is diffused, higher intensity, and less directional. And we understand that. We need it to cover a broader area. And of course, we want less glare. places that have a lot of windows, like a den or a kitchen, may have some glare. So you can install shades. That's an easy solution. But I'm just bringing up certain things to keep in mind. Not everything needs a major fix or a contractor or a handyman. Now, besides for doors, entryways to a home are a source of concern. And they're important to people, and they're rightly a source of concern because you want to be active in the community. A person wants to go to out for social visits and in their neighborhood. And if a person is stuck and getting in and out is a major deal, then they are going to become more socially isolated. Yes, they can Zoom, and yes, they can talk on the phone, and yes, they can WhatsApp call, but it's not the same as being out in the world and feeling like an active member of society. So most people fix, whether there is an entry, a traumatic event, or in thinking ahead, most people pay attention and make some changes to the entryway. They have ramps installed, lifts, elevators, foldable ramps, et cetera. I don't really want to spend much time on them because they're no-brainers, but I will stop for a minute and talk briefly about some mistakes with ramps. Why? Because ramps are not required to be built to code. If you want, you can have your grandson or granddaughter take a couple of boards, a hammer and nails, and knock something together. But ramps can be hazardous as well. You don't want a ramp that's too steep, that's hard to get up. You want a landing at the top and at the bottom. And also, if the ramp has to turn, you know, it has to bring you pretty high up, you want a landing at the curve where it changes direction. At the curve, I'm sorry. You also must have guardrails. That logic will tell you. But you also want to have weather-resistant materials that will not be slippery and will not ice over, because you do have to get out during the winter. You do have to see a doctor from time to time. And also, sometimes if they're not installed properly, there's too much of a transition. You know, the ideal transition should be a quarter inch. I mean, you shouldn't have to push that wheelchair more than a quarter of an inch upwards. And if there's a beveled edge, a slanted edge, then you can take another quarter of an inch to make it a half an inch. But beyond that, it's too hard. It's too challenging. You want to have lighting near a ramp. You want to have weather protection, whether it's for shade or for rain. And here's another one. You want to make it pretty. You don't want to park in front of a house and, oh, that thing jumps out at you. So one of the easiest things to do, and I've seen this, is to decorate with planters with flowers at on either side at the bottom, or if there's room at the top, usually it's at the bottom. Put some flowers with planters. It makes it aesthetically pleasing, and the senior also feels better about it. So that's a couple of cautionary thoughts and notes about ramps. Now, when we talk about entryways, there are all kinds of entryways. Some people have steps, obviously. Some people have drives, garages, and carports. We also have to give attention to them and adapt them with and make some modifications. So egress and exiting, ingress and egress are easily accomplished. Now, one thing I learned that I didn't think of when I took my training several months back, it's almost a year, was when you look at an entryway, besides lighting, besides shade, besides safety, you also want to put a shelf there, because you don't want the senior to lose their balance when they're coming in with a bag or a package, you want to be able to put it down and then unlock the door and not go off balance. So help at waist height is a good idea. Now, we also want to be sure that the lock is easily opened and is not a struggle. For many people, you know, twisting the wrist is hard. So a lever is a good idea. For people who have difficulty using a key, a push button or a remote deadbolt, battery operated, is a good option. And one thing that's a no-brainer, even now for me, is a mailbox. You don't want the mail to be thrust through the slot and be on the floor. You come into the home, into the hallway, the entryway, the lobby, whatever, the foyer, whatever you call it, you don't want mail on the floor. So you want to be able to see, you want to be able to be protected, you want to be able to get to the door, put your things down, unlock the entry, and step inside. So I am not going to talk further about entryways, except one mention of steps. Even if a person can navigate steps, because everybody knows about steps, keep in mind that closed risers, not open, like if you had a spiral staircase that you installed for coolness, and there's those open areas between each step, not a good idea. Those are, you want to be sure that the mobility aid, let's say the walker, will not slip from the edge. You want to be sure to have continuous handrails all the way down and around. So that's just a couple of thoughts about steps. Now let's address the rooms in the house, now that we've gotten in safely, the key areas in a home that are challenging and may require some modification for comfort, safety, and convenience. Now the first thing I'm going to address is bathrooms. As people age, their use of the bathroom changes. It is no longer a place for pampering, but it is now an area of necessity. And the focus is not on storage of your aspirin, toothpaste, beauty equipment, and nail polish, but we focus on critical use areas: the toilet, the tub, the shower, and the vanity to a lesser extent. So one of the first things to do is to move out a lot of these things. Get rid of the things you store in the bathroom. And move them to another room, another cabinet, a hallway, or something. You're going to need less clutter, maneuverability, and space, as well as perhaps some special appliances in the critical use areas. So that would be the counters, the electricity, the controls on the shower and sink, storage. You do need some things in a bathroom. We're not clearing everything out, but the towels, the shoe polish kit, those things don't necessarily have to be there. So we're going to start with key functions, like I said before, the critical use, the toilet, the tub, the shower, the sink. I'm not going to talk much about a tub because it's not so safe. So unless you need to take baths, we're not addressing a tub at all. And you may not want to think it's the shower that's optimal for a senior. Now, anything that you do in a bathroom, any changes that you make, will have to take into consideration the height of the person and the width of the person. What is their size when they're sitting in a wheelchair or they're going to sit in a wheelchair? Now, most people know that they have to install curbless showers, nothing that you have to step over, no frame, bottom of a frame, whether it's metal or it's tile. That's clear. There are some shower systems that have retractable curbs that go down and then go up once you're in and keep the water in. But a better solution for this is a trench, or what we call a slip drain. Having a drain at the edge or in another area of your shower to keep the water from going into the rest of the bathroom and making it slippery. So it's not just getting in, but it's draining the water. So this slip drain slash another name for it is a trench would be installed as part of your new shower at the edge to drain the water. And sometimes people install a seat in a shower, and you could put the slip drain underneath and slant, have a slope to the tiles, so the water goes to the back instead of flooding outwards, even if you have a slip drain. Doing the slip drain under the chair, which is chair area, could be a folding chair, specially installed, not a folding chair from your garage, having it there, having the water drain in that direction because of the slope of the floor of the shower. Obviously, seated showering is optimal for people. Now, grab bars are also something for the beginning of change. Grab bars are common solutions for toilet and bath areas, but it has to be done properly. There has to be blocking and reinforcement on the inside of the wall, whether you're working with a stud or whatever it is. This needs to be done professionally, no question about it. So we have basically addressed the shower and the toilet. Let's talk a little bit about the sink area. You want to have faucets that are easy to manage. Lever style faucets are easiest, or touch control. You can have motion sensors, but there may be a Shabbos issue. So you're going to want to have faucets that are clearly demarcated, difference between the controls, hot and cold, is important. You also want to have it easy to reach. So you're going to have a sink with an open area underneath. So a mobility aid such as a wheelchair can slide it under. If you are having some storage in the bathroom, you want it to come, the drawers, the pull-out drawers, pull-out shelves, pull-out trays should go all the way out. The extension should be complete so you can access everything easily. And if you have a shaver, a hair dryer, some appliances, garage them. You know, have those garages like many people have in the kitchen for the crock pot or the blender or the mixer. You don't have to see it, because more clutter increases, even on a countertop, increases safety concerns. And like we said before, cabinets are better than closets. There's less door interference. So if you need, and you need a lot of maneuverability space. So it's important to understand that adapting or modifying a bathroom is going to require more space than before. So many people expand the bathroom into a nearby closet or a small bedroom, besides for taking out some of the things that don't need to be there, the storage functions, the towels, etc. So again, to repeat what we started with in terms of the bathroom has to be reconfigured for key critical use areas, toileting, showering, washing up, and the things you need to do all those things. It's not a place to do your hair, your wig, your trim your facial hair. That is not the primary function, and you're going to need more space. And so now we come to the kitchen. And even if you have a magnificent kitchen at home, designed by a top flight kitchen designer with generous space and excellent design, it may not be so accessible for a person when they age. There are a lot of things that have to happen in a kitchen. You have to prepare the food, store the food, cook the food, serve the food, eat the food, and clean up as well. So I'm going to touch on a few things because a kitchen has so many functions that I'm just going to go over a couple of them. The fridge. You have to consider the door swing. It's a good idea to have ice and water dispensers on the outside so you don't have to open it. A side-by-side gives you easier access to the freezer. Those new French door styles are good because you can access everything in the refrigerator more easily, as well as higher freezer areas. Some of them have two freezer areas, a bigger one at the bottom and a small drawer. You want to have shelves that slide out or pull down. You want to have easily convenient temperature controls. Now, if you have bought a refrigerator recently, they have a lot of these functions. Many people have good refrigerators from 20 years ago, and they're going to be harder to use. These same principles are true in terms of kitchen cabinets. You want to have in your pantry pull-outs, pull-downs, rotating shelves. You are not going to want a door. Now, so that's the storage, the refrigerator for the storage, the kitchen cabinets for the storage. What about the food prep? We want to have varying counter heights because some things you stand for, some things you sit for. If you're sitting, you want to be able to have nothing at the bottom so that there is room to wheel in a wheelchair. You don't want to have tight corners. You want to have lighting that's appropriate. You can also cook. Another thing in food prep is the actual cooking, not just the chopping of the vegetables and the mixing of the ingredients for a cake. You want to be able to access an oven for baking or a cooktop. You can have wall ovens that are easily accessible and a cooktop that you can slide a wheelchair under. Microwaves, however, which we don't really use for cooking, we use them more for warming up, are traditionally placed above a cooking area. You know, you want to save on counter space, but that's not going to work when we get older. So we can have the hinged kind, the under the counter kind of microwave. And then for washing up, you want to have touch control faucet. You want to have, someone asked a question about mats on the floor. If you're worried about something being unsafe, get rid of it. There are some mats that are safer than others. They have beveled edges. They have gripping ability. But if you're worried about something not being safe, that's a sign. Deal with it. Get rid of the mat. Make an adaptation. If something concerns you, that's Hashem's gift to you. Your brain is telling you, watch out, be careful. This is a potential problem area. And the last thing are, of course, the top and the bottom, meaning the lighting. You need adequate lighting. Adequate lighting does not mean a fixture in the middle of the ceiling. It means general lighting, task lighting, area lighting, and here's something, night lights. Whether it's an old-fashioned baby-style nightlight or a motion sensor or a timer, you want to have lighting in the kitchen because people do go into the kitchen at night and you don't want to trip. You want there to be some level of lighting. And then the bottom, when we talk about floors, we want to have smooth, seamless, easy-to-clean floors, tiles, floors that may not be ideal because they have those areas in between and the grout is hard to clean. You want something smooth and easily navigable. Now, in the last few minutes, I touched on three major areas in the home: the entryway, the kitchen, and the bathroom. The last three few minutes, I think I have more than three, I want to talk about the unspoken question in everybody's mind, I think. How am I going to pay for this? Especially when someone has a traumatic medical event and you have to scramble and put it together, you need resources. How is this going to happen? Or if you're lucky enough to be able to plan, where is this money going to come from? People worry. And especially when people bring parents home from an assisted living or another kind of congregate care facility or congregate living facility, they're going to want to make adaptations either to the child's home or if the person is going into their own apartment or condo. So I'm happy to tell you about a couple of resources. Number one is there is some government help on the city, county, and state level. Most have income requirements. Most have age limitations, obviously. They generally cover simple needs like window guards, grab bars for the bathroom. And there's a federal program that comes down to the state level and the city and the county for replacement windows under the weatherization program. Now, the way to start is to call your county or city department for the aging. They will have more details. They may even assign you a case manager. I live in Nassau County in Lawrence. I tried this out because I knew about the city. I had worked in social services in the city for many years. In Nassau County, they will give you a case manager in the Department for the Aging who will go through an application and all kinds of things that you may need. You may need transportation, you may need food coming in, but they outsource the simple repairs to a nonprofit, which will come and remove the barriers and install grab bars. In New York City, for example, Met Council on Jewish Poverty, which is one of the nonprofits where I work, they have something called Project MetroPair. They have a couple of mobile handyman trucks and they come in and they make some repairs and they install grab bars and handrails. So there may be resources that you will learn about through your local Department for the Aging. Medicaid and Medicare, unfortunately, do not generally cover modifications. If you were smart enough and had the resources to buy long-term care insurance, some long-term care insurance policies will cover special equipment that help with activities of daily living. They won't, redo your kitchen for you, but activities of daily living, we know that term, ADL, aids that help with ADLs may be covered. So you may get some help with installing a ramp or a grab bar. They're not paying generally for, a $30,000 elevator. So what is a couple or a family to do? Many people in the Orthodox community during their early years were paying tuitions and were paying for college and making weddings. And by the time they had the resources and the financial ability to buy long-term care insurance, they were well-educated and they heard that the premiums are not only high, but they keep changing and there's more restrictions. So I'm going to mention something and don't panic when you hear it. I'm going to mention reverse mortgages. Now, when reverse mortgages came out about 30 years ago, they got a bad name and it was well-deserved. There were lending companies that took advantage of old people and put into place crazy systems. In 2013, the FHA, the Federal Housing Administration, stepped in to protect the senior and the family from the unscrupulous lenders. They also protect the borrower. And today, reverse mortgages are the prime method for financing aging in place improvements. people also use them, if they didn't buy long-term care insurance, for home care. You have too many resources for Medicaid. You went through the Medicaid planning process. You can't do Medicaid in your state, but you can borrow based on the equity of your house. Let me just go through a little bit. I am not affiliated with anyone in this business, but it is a resource that many people don't know about and don't think about. And they still have bad associations from way back. I have researched this. I have talked to people who've done it. Here's the story. You have to be 62 and older and basically either own your home or have substantial equity in your home. The idea is it converts your home equity into cash. The lender will give you either a lump sum to make the modifications, a line of credit, monthly payments, or a combination of these arrangements. And these funds that you borrow are income tax free, and you repay them when the last borrower or her spouse leaves the house. In other words, if you go into a nursing home or you pass away or your spouse does either of these things, your surviving spouse, that's when the loan is due. Now, the FHA ensures this. This feature protects the homeowner and the heirs from ever owing more than the value of the home at the time that the mortgage has to be repaid. You don't have to pay any principal or interest so long as one of the spouses lives in the home as his primary residence. Now, I'll point something else out, and this has nothing to do, this is for people who are not borrowing money and borrowing on their home equity to make home improvements. You can get federal income tax deductions on home improvements that you make for medical necessity. And even some states give you a tax deduction on the cost. So I think this is worth exploring as your eyes have been opened as to the many things you can do. Everything's personal, everything's individual based on your home, your preference, and your medical condition. I do home modification assessments. I'm a certified aging in place specialist, certified by the National Association of Home Builders. I work with a medical team, OTs, PTs, the doctors, and the family to make a plan that will help the individual age in place. And there are other people like this who do this across the country. And this is one of the many services that Caring Professionals, a home care agency owned by Miriam Sternberg of Far Rockaway, has in place. We can offer you many things, but this is a little unique, and this is a service and a function that people are considering now that COVID has changed our aging landscape. So I think I am done here. And Rebbitz and Judy, I'm eager to answer some questions that have come up.
Thank you so much, Peggy. You gave us a lot to think about, lots of information. I haven't seen any questions yet. I think you probably covered it all. But if there's anything, if anybody wants to add to the chat, we'll be happy to address them. Does anybody have anything? I mean, otherwise, you'll be receiving, when you receive the recording later, you will have the contact email. So, you know, if you don't think of something now and you think of something later, that's not a problem. We're going to wait another second.
Cheryl mentioned stairway chairs. Of course, that's a very common option when you don't have navigating room. Bring in several people to help you make a practical, economical choice given your home as it stands now. Sometimes putting something in on the outside. My aunt and uncle put an elevator on the outside because they had a narrow, steep staircase. It cost more money, but it was just easier than making major changes. And one of the children was able to work on the financing of it, and it was not awful. It was not awful. And of course, it increased the value of their home. So stairway chairs are definitely one of several options that you want to price out, get qualified people to do, and look at. It's not the only option. One of the things I didn't know about just on this topic is if you're building a house now, you know, friends of mine built houses 20 years ago and put in elevators. You don't have to do everything right away, but you can plan. And one of the things people plan is an elevator shaft. If you stack your closets one on top of the other, then you will have room for an elevator shaft or a lift when the time comes. Or if you remove a chimney, you will have some space that you can use later. And frankly, I found that in my current house. We removed the chimney. I don't need the closet space, but the space is there for the future. So we'll see.
Okay, well, thank you so, so much. We got so much information. And I just want to tell everybody, of course, everyone knows that they will get the recording of the program later. I just want to advise you that we're changing, the OU is changing its Zoom account this week. So the recording that you get today will only be good for a couple of days, but within the next day or two, it will be in the archive. So if you start looking at it, let's say in a few days it doesn't work, it will be in the archives by that and well, any other information as well as all of the other materials that you see in the archives. So just keep that in mind. Just a few announcements. Thursday's program on relocation. We thank Faggy Horowitz for giving us the one of the presenters for that program has been pre-recorded, and you'll be getting a link that Thursday morning so that you can watch that whenever you want at your convenience. It is not a live program. Next week, we're going to be taking a break from Spirit for Election Day. So we make sure that everyone has the proper time to vote. We don't tell you who to vote for. That is entirely your business. But please make sure it is so important for every election that everybody makes sure we're America. We want to make sure that we cast our votes. So do that. And we will next Thursday, we're still in progress. So you'll be getting information about next Thursday. The following week, I had been announcing that for Kristallnacht, we want to hear from you. And for Veterans Day. So if anybody is a survivor or the child of a survivor, we've heard from a few people already and we'll be making that program up soon. Or if someone is a veteran, we'd love to open those sessions to hear from our Spirit participants. I think that's about it. Have a wonderful day. Be safe and healthy. Thank you so much again, Faggy Horowitz. It's always a great to connect with you. And I know we're gonna be seeing you again soon here on the program. Take care. Okay, thank you so much, everybody. Have a wonderful day.